Numbers chapter 21. If you found it and you're able to, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Numbers 21, we'll begin reading in verse number 1 and read down through verse number 9. The Bible says, "And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Boy, isn't that a wonderful account in the Scriptures? Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll preach on this subject matter on looking the right direction. Looking the right direction. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for already speaking to our hearts and encouraging us, Lord, of who you are in our lives and what we have to look forward to in just a little while. We'll be at home with you. And Lord, we look forward to that. Lord, the last song we just sang as a congregation was, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face." And Lord, I pray that you'd encourage us, challenge us as we look into the Scriptures today about making sure that our eyes are focused upon you and looking that right direction. Have your will and way now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. For those that are in the medical field, this is actually the passage of Scripture, and we've made mention of this previously, that the symbol for the pharmacy and for medicine today is a pole with a serpent wrapped around it. You may see it on pins, you may see it on a pharmacy sign, and they actually received that from years ago from this passage of Scripture. People today wear that symbol, or they have that posted as a doctor, as a nurse, or as a pharmacist, maybe without even knowing that it comes from Numbers chapter 21 about the brazen serpent. There's so much application throughout the Scriptures as we look in this passage of Scripture. We actually sing several songs throughout the songbook that could be based upon this. One of them that we sing is the song, "Look and Live, My Brother, Look." And it's based upon this, that as these people were sinning against the Lord, God sent judgment. We're going to look at a few things throughout the Scriptures today. God sent judgment, and in summary, as we read it, they repented, turned back to the Lord, and God told Moses to make this brazen serpent, put it up upon a pole. It was high enough. We're not sure how high Moses put that in the camp, but if someone had been bitten by these fiery serpents and they were dying as a result of that bite, that all they had to do, as the Bible says at the end of verse number 8, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And then we know the miracle was taking place. People were beholding the serpent that was raised up upon that pole. As I began looking through this passage of Scripture, and of course, we see this as we go throughout Scripture. In fact, let me remind us as what the Bible says in John chapter 3, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so this passage is quoted by the Lord Jesus Christ and referenced by Jesus, speaking of his death upon the cross that we actually just celebrated and remembered, not just his death, but his burial and his resurrection just a couple of weeks ago. As we come back over here and we see in Numbers 22, 21 about this looking in the right direction, there's several things that I want us to look at about this subject matter this morning. First of all, I want you to see that discouragement causes a lot lack of focus on God's purpose. Discouragement, you say, well, why is that? Well, as we look at society, but I could also come back to the Scriptures, and let's set the emotional and spiritual and physical condition that the nation of Israel was in at this time. As we see throughout Scripture so many times, there's great discouragement that comes after great victory. We see this that takes place in Elijah's life after he's up on Mount Carmel and God gives him a great victory. The next time we see him, he's running for his life and he's hiding under a juniper tree, wishing that he'd never been born. Well, here we read the first three verses and God had just given a great victory. In the first three verses, the Arad, the king of the Canaanites, had come and fought against them and actually took prisoners of war from the nation of Israel. And they made a vow unto the Lord that said, Lord, if you'll deliver them into our hands, then we'll utterly destroy the cities and we'll follow you. And the Bible says that the Lord hearkened unto the voice in verse number 3 of chapter 21. And they were rejoicing. But let's look before this great victory that God gave to him. Let's look after this great victory that God gave to him. Back in chapter number 20, at the end of the chapter of Scripture we have recorded here about the first priest, the first high priest that God had instituted of the Levitical tribe in priest Aaron, the high priest there for the tabernacle. And because of his rebellion and disobedience to the Lord, the Bible says that he was passing away and he was not going to go into the promised land. So at the end of chapter number 20, the Bible says in verse number 26, or we'll start verse 25, it says, take Aaron and Eleazar his son and bring them up unto Mount Hor. And strip Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. Then we have this beginning three verses where some of their family members were taken prisoner, and then God was able to deliver them and they were able to recover them. But then they continued journeying in verse number 4. And it says they went from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the Bible says the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Now, not only the way that they were going, which was a desert place, the Bible says that there was no food, bread, and there was no water. And their soul was loathing, according to verse number 5, this light bread. But I found out when we as God's people and as the children of God begin getting discouraged in the way and the path that God has us journeying in life, we begin to lose our focus on the purpose and the plan and the path that God has for us to be able to walk through. As I began thinking over this past year, I am not going to say you've gotten discouraged. I'm not going to say I've gotten discouraged, but I know people. And you know people that have received discouragement over the past year. We see this started probably with the death of Aaron. They mourned for him 30 days. They come out of that, and some of their family members are taken captive as prisoner of war. Yes, they're able to recover them, but then the journey that they're on is a difficult one in a desert place, and the Bible says their soul was discouraged. I know each and every one of us, as we go through life, we face this discouragement. And may I say, when we start beginning to be discouraged, we've taken our eyes off the Lord, and we actually begin looking at the circumstances that are all around us. The same thing happened if we were to take the time and go over and read about when Peter was walking on water to be able to go see Jesus. When did he begin to sink? It's when he saw that the wind was boisterous and the waves were high. He began to sink. You know why? Because he had taken his focus off the Lord Jesus Christ. How many, when they take their eyes off Jesus and start looking at the circumstances and everything that's going on around us, listen, you take your eyes off Jesus and start looking at what's going on around us, and you'll start getting discouraged on every side. You can't watch the news for 5 minutes without being discouraged. You know how much news I haven't watched? It just hurts the focus. And you start getting so frustrated. You say, don't you want to know what's going on? Oh, I know what's going on. Instead of watching the news, I'll read some of the news, because then I can just shut it off as I want to, and I'm not listening to it. But I thought, we'll get discouraged on every side. You know what God has emphasized over and over and over again in our lives? Let's keep our eyes on Jesus and not lose focus of the purpose and the plan that God has for us. Discouragement causes that. You say, well, what do we need to do? We need to look the right direction. All of a sudden, when we take our eyes off Jesus, we're looking at ourselves saying, how are we going to make it through this? We take our eyes off Jesus and we say, how's the church going to make it through this? We take our eyes off Jesus and we start saying, what's going on with these circumstances? Discouragement causes a loss of focus on God's purpose. Do you understand that the nation of Israel, now God was providing for them. God was meeting every need. But they actually got to the point that the blessings of God, listen, the blessings of God was disgusting to them. They made the statement, there's no bread. And they said, our soul loatheth this light bread. You know what they're talking about? They're talking about the manna that God would rain down from heaven every morning to be able to provide for them. Do you know why we have testimony and praise time here at Granite State Baptist Church? We ought to be thankful and excited about the blessings of God in our lives. They had came to the point that the very provisions of God every day of their life, their soul was loathing that. They were disgusted at that. You say, why could and how could someone get to that point? I'll tell you how they can get to that point. They get discouraged and they lose focus of Jesus. And instead of thanking God for the daily blessings that he heaps upon us, we start getting disgusted at it. When's the last time the little things, like we've been able to breathe all day long so far? Listen, I slept hard. I told my nephew Jeremiah as we were riding into church this morning, I said, man, I fell asleep. I slept hard last night. You know what I failed to do? I failed to think about who was keeping my lungs pumping oxygen in and out of my body all night long. Hey, we take our eyes off Jesus, we start getting discouraged. All these things taking place around us. Hey, he just sang about just a few more days. We know the grief. We know the sorrow of a passing loved one. May I say that through that, we must keep our eyes on Jesus. Here's what happened with Aaron, and then the physical defeat here, and prisoners of war taken, and then the emotional and the physical challenge that they had of the way that they were traveling. But then I want you to see this. In verse number 5, not only does discouragement cause a lack of focus on God's purpose, but I want you to see this, that looking back exalts bondage over freedom. He said in verse number 5, "And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have he brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." Do you understand? This is over and over and over again that the nation of Israel is complaining about God delivering them from Egypt. Less than a few days after they're brought out of Egypt, when you get back into Exodus chapter number 14, less than a few days, they're up against the Red Sea and they're saying, "Hey, it would have been better to be back in Egypt." We get our eyes off Jesus, all of a sudden we start glorifying bondage more than we do freedom. I've heard statements like this, and very possibly you have too. "Well, before I was a child of God, I didn't have these battles." "Well, all of a sudden, I give my heart and life over to the Lord." It was said, there was a lady saved several years ago here at Granite State Baptist Church, and it just seemed like after she got saved, boy, it just seemed like everything went after her. Boy, she remained faithful, reading her Bible, praying, walking with God. You say, "Well, how do you explain all of that?" I can say this, one day with the Lord is better than 1,000 days without him. You say, "But I face this and I face that, and these trials and these problems come up in my life." But can I say this? We still have heaven that's waiting for us. The nation of Israel, as they're traveling here in the wilderness, yes, they're to the point, they're discouraged. No, they don't have their water like they want. Yes, they wanted more than just this light bread that God is providing to them on a daily basis. But do you understand that was just temporal things? They still had the promised land that they were heading towards. And sometimes we lose focus of Jesus. Sometimes we get our eyes off Christ. And we start saying, "You know, I had it better before." Hey, there's not one person walking with God today that'll say it was better as an unsaved person living in the world than it is today. "This world holds nothing for me. Egypt held nothing but bondage for the nation of Israel." But yet they got to the point that they were desiring that instead of the direction God was taking them. Boy, I tell you, you start thinking, hey, there may be some sitting here today and you're thinking you have all the pleasures of this world, and you're thinking it's so much fun and satisfying being out in the world and not living for God. Listen, you'll come to the point that you'll say, "I regret those days." And get our eyes off Christ. Looking back exalts bondage. There's some that are here. I told our Sunday school class, I said, "Listen, there's some that are in our church." I said, "They didn't get saved till they were 30, 40, 50 years old, some later." And I said, "Those of us that were sitting in Sunday school, we grew up different than that." And I said, "There's an understanding of the grace of God. Hey, I've never had one old drunkard that God delivered them from that lifestyle say, 'Man, I just wish I could go back to that.' No, they're thankful God's delivered them from it. And it's not time to get our eyes off Jesus and say it'd be better to be out in the world. It's better to keep focused on Christ and looking the right direction instead of looking all around saying, "Well, I wish I was back in Egypt." They got to be outside their mind wanting to go back to Egypt in bondage and say that would be better than walking with God and having the blessings and the provision of God upon their lives. You say, but look, they didn't have any water. Do you understand, as just trust in the Lord, that God brought water forth from a rock? You're not going to see that out in the world. You're not going to see that back in Egypt. You're not going to see the provision of God with the man of God stepping up there and God saying, hey, just strike that rock and I'll bring water forth. What? They walk up after crossing the Red Sea and the waters are bitter. And God says, hey, I want you to cut down that tree over there and just cast it in the water. And they became as sweet as could be. Hey, you don't see that back in Egypt. You don't see God saving souls. You don't see God changing lives. You don't see God providing and God giving victory while you're back in the world. But you start getting discouraged and looking back and you start saying, man, I had it better. I just want all that fun out there. Yeah, you forget about the bondage. You forget about how it was coming home and you've spent your entire paycheck and now you don't have money to buy groceries for your family because you just drank it all on Friday night. You remember the bondage of having to sneak around and go downtown and be able to buy some drugs or be able to buy this and buy that, and then you can't take care of your family. You forget about the bondage. Well, I just had some security. I'll take Jesus. We start looking back, we start exalting bondage. Boy, aren't you thankful that when you come to Christ, He makes you free, and who the Son of Man makes free, you're free indeed. You know that word indeed means of a surety, sure enough, for sure. Boy, aren't you thankful? Looking back exalts bondage. You say, where are you looking? Well, are you exalting bondage? Are you discouraged and you're losing focus on Jesus? Here's what happened with the nation of Israel. Bible says when they started complaining, they had spoken against God and God sent fiery serpents in to judge the people. To judge the people. Now, last Sunday afternoon, we made mention about eternal security, believing that once we are biblically saved, we are saved for all of eternity. But then we brought up about Hebrews, where it says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. And we may be saved for all of eternity, but if you're a child of God and you're away from God, God's promised to bring you back. And as I read down through here, and the Lord sent fiery serpents, starting in verse number 6. We're not sure exactly what kind of serpent it was, except it was a fiery serpent, and God sent them. They bit the people, and much people of Israel died. You say, well, that's awfully cruel of God. Can I remind us when we get our eyes off God and God brings judgment, that the purpose of judgment is simply to refocus us and to get us back to Christ? That's the purpose of it. You say, oh no, that God in heaven, He's just so hateful of everybody. No, God is so loving that even His judgment is a manifestation of His grace and His love bestowed upon us. Even His judgment, the purpose of these fiery serpents being sent through the camp. Now listen, I'm thankful God's not doing that today. Can you imagine? Now, think about your spiritual condition. I don't know what it is. Maybe you're not right with God today. Maybe you're disobedient to God. Can you imagine right now in your spiritual condition if God sent serpents in Granite State Baptist Church to bring judgment? Man, I tell you, we would be emotional people then, wouldn't we? We would be emotional. You've been to some of them churches in West Virginia, haven't you? Hey, listen, do you realize that when God brings judgment into our lives, He's doing that because we have gotten our eyes off Jesus? You say, well, I've never experienced the judgment of God upon me. I'd start questioning whether you're a child of God or not. If someone can just take God or leave him and go out and live in the world and the judgment of God's not upon him and there's not that chastening and there's not trying to woo and to be able to draw him back, hey, listen, there's something wrong there. The purpose of judgment that God sends is for us to be able to refocus. Listen, it didn't take long revealing that they had sinned against God. Judgment started coming in. Oh, you say, man, I'd hate to be there. I'm thankful for their repentant spirit. That when judgment came, it didn't take them long to say, we need to get right with God. We need to turn back to God. We need to get our eyes back on Jesus. We've been reading it over the past few weeks when the tribulation starts to take place in the book of Revelation. And it's amazing when heaven is opened up and judgment begins falling upon this world. It's amazing, instead of repenting, they're crying out for their death. We'll see it over the next couple weeks that it actually specifically says that through all of this, they repented not. Boy, I'm so thankful. Listen, we ought to be so quick when there is sin in our lives. We've taken our eyes off Christ. And when God, whatever it is, I'm thankful it's not a fiery serpent. But whatever it is, when God gets my attention, that I just don't turn more against him. That I don't just say, I know that's God trying to work and he's trying to woo me back to himself. I'm just going to keep walking because I'm having too much of a good time. You know this, the further someone goes, the harder that leash has to be snapped to be able to get them back in. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Been there. Been there. With God saying, hey, I'm bringing judgment in your life, but he's so loving about it. And the whole purpose is to get my eyes back on Jesus and to be walking with him. So we read down through here the purpose of judgment. But then as I read down through, and there's so many things we could turn to over in the scriptures, the Bible says, we read it starting in verse number 7, but jump down with me to verse number 9, and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And I want you to see this. Look at verse number 10. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth. And they journeyed from Oboth in and pitched at Ijabarim in the wilderness which is before Moab toward the sun rising. You say, Pastor, why are you reading that? Well, we can read about Zered in verse number 12 if you like to. The other side of Arnon in verse number 13. And Arnon and Moab and the Amorites. We can read down. You say, what do you mean? I read that next phrase in verse number 10 where it says, and the children of Israel set forward. Do you understand the determination and the commitment that is implied here after the judgment of God, after they repented, after they refocused where God desired them to focus, and they turned their eyes upon Jesus, and they set forward? And I wrote down, maybe God just encouraging me, that looking the right direction revives our soul and the direction that we're going. I tell you, and you've experienced this, and I'll just be transparent with you, when you begin to get discouraged in life, isn't it amazing how you can just lose basic desires and direction each day? And you start getting down, you start saying, hey, it doesn't even matter. God will send some things in our lives. Thankfully, it's not a fiery serpent. God will send things in our lives. And what God's trying to do is just trying to, sometimes he has to snap that leash to me. But he's trying to get me back in and saying, you need to refocus. And boy, I'm thankful for the times that when I do refocus and I get my eyes back on Jesus, guess what? I can set forward in the direction he's called me to go. I'm thankful I can keep moving forward. I'm thankful for my walk with God. Hey, what if God had given them what they wanted? All right, you want to? Go back to Egypt. Can you imagine what would have happened to them if they would have sat back in Egypt? renewing of direction and refocusing on Christ. You say, well, what's the application for us today? Well, it's as simple as this. There's those that have gotten their eyes off Jesus. There's families that have gotten their eyes off Jesus. There's young people that have taken their eyes off Jesus and changed direction. They're walking a way that God does not want them to walk. They're living a life that God does not desire for them to go. And I'm praying today you'll get your eyes back on Jesus. I'm praying that, listen, it doesn't take fiery serpents. I'm praying it doesn't take the judgment of God poured out upon you and your family to get to the point of turning back to the Lord to say, God, that's where I need to be going and get back in. I'm praying it doesn't get to that point. But I'm saying there's some that have taken their eyes off Jesus. I'm saying there's some going a direction and the purpose. If you say I'm going through things in my life and I don't understand why it's so difficult. Do you know that Solomon told us over in the book of Proverbs that the way of the transgressor is hard? It's hard. You say, man, it just seems like I'm battling on every side. And we're not talking about just things of life. We're talking about God maybe trying to get your attention. And it's time to get your eyes off the world and focusing on Egypt. It's time to get them back on Jesus. And it's time to refocus. It's time to turn our eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in light of his glory and grace. Hey, guess what? As soon as they got back, the manna was still there. Isn't it amazing some of the blessings that we have in life? When we get right with the Lord, all of a sudden the blessings of life that we had all along, they just seem so sweet. It just seems so wonderful. Boy, and then I thought about this. Look at this down through here. I'm talking about getting right with God. Look what it says in verse number 16. Now, remember what they wanted. They said there's no water and there's no bread. We loathe this light meat. Verse 16, and from thence they went to Beer, that is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. I'll say this, all the things that you're looking for in this world, the Lord has all of them to make you satisfied. The Lord has more for you than what you'll ever find walking away from him. But I love the next verse. Look at this. Then Israel sang this song. Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. One of the shortest songs in the Bible. Shortest song. You say, is that the first song? No, you can go back to Exodus chapter 15. And after they crossed the Red Sea and got to the other side, they were singing in Exodus 15. First time that song is mentioned. And they're singing. Aren't you thankful? You say, what's the difference between verse number 5 when they're speaking against God and verse number 17 when they're singing unto God? The difference is judgment came in their life and they repented and got things right. And now they're focused on the Lord and not focused on everything around them. Now they're focused on Jesus and they're not exalting their bondage and saying, hey, it'd be better to be back there. Hey, now I understand I got saved when I was 5 years old. There's not a long life and list of sin that I can give to you before salvation. But there's some that could stand up here today and they could start telling you about how it was before they were saved. And I guarantee you the ones that are walking with God, they would say, I wouldn't trade anything I have today to go back for one day. The days you can't remember where you woke up. The days you can't remember. I've had people to, and listen, I'm thankful I was spared from a life like this. Some of you had to, you experienced this. When I start hearing accounts of just people drunk out of their mind, and young ladies that are drunk out of their mind, and who knows what has taken place throughout the night, and then another young man just experiencing this as a young man, just seeing, listen, a car pull up, and a young lady just being tossed out the car and rolled over into the ditch until she sobers up 2 or 3 hours later and gets up and stumbles out of that ditch, puts her thumb out walking down the road to get the next ride. And some are saying, I want to get out in that world And that's better than what I have today? No, at least you remember what you did on a Saturday night. And I don't want to exalt the bondage of this world better than what Christ has to offer us. But if you get your eyes off Jesus, I'm telling you, there's no telling what direction you'll go. And just like Peter, you'll begin to sink. You'll begin to sink. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He was talking about his crucifixion on the cross. But may I remind us today that I believe we ought to exalt the Lord Jesus. You say, what's going to make a difference to this younger generation? They're just wanting to live out there in the world and they're just wanting to do all the things that they want to do. You know what I'm going to do for them? I'm going to try to keep exalting Jesus. And just say, hey, it's worth it to live for Jesus. It's worth it. Don't get to the point of judgment that you're dying and you have to look up to be able to see him. Just keep your eyes on him from the beginning. Look in the right direction. Let me ask you something. Where are you looking today? Are you looking at yourself and you're getting all discouraged? Are you looking at the condition of this world and you're getting all discouraged? Are you looking at even the blessings that God has given to you and you're still getting discouraged? Quit looking at all those things and start looking the right direction and get your eyes on Jesus. Do you know that Jesus has never failed? He's never let me down, even though I've let him down. Even though there's been times that God had to do a course correction on me, say, hey, you're heading the wrong direction. Let me snap that back in a little bit. He's so loving and gracious and merciful. Be able to draw us back in and say, hey, listen, focus here. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you're not even saved. You're not a child of God. Can I say this? You're looking the wrong direction. If you're looking for peace, joy, happiness, security, anything whatsoever outside of Jesus, you're not going to find it. If you're looking for victory, you're not going to find it outside of Jesus. You're just looking the wrong direction. I was reminded what Anna said over in Luke chapter number 2. I read it in Sunday school this morning. She started proclaiming about seeing the Messiah. And she was proclaiming it to those that were looking for redemption in Jerusalem. They were looking the wrong direction for redemption. Redemption came from Bethlehem. Redemption came from Jesus. Which direction are you looking?